Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Margaret E. Ward, leadership consultant and Irish Times World of Work columnist, is with me now. Hi, Margaret.
Hello. Good morning. Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. And we're going to talk today about bosses. Mainly bad bosses, let's be honest. Okay, so bosses who micromanage or gaslight you or sabotage you or belittle you and all the rest of it. It's a bit like Tolstoy, is it? All bad bosses bad in their own way. Talk me through some bad boss issues.
Yeah, I mean, you can go from the extremes, right? People who are very aggressive towards you, belittle you, undermine you, yelling, shouting. I mean, I've even worked with some clients where there were fist fights happening at work. So that's the extremes, right? Then you have people who maybe they're just not very good at their jobs. Maybe they're trying to hide because they don't have the skills to be a good manager. Maybe they weren't given the training, or maybe they don't even have the personality type or the understanding of the amount of communication that's required when you're somebody's boss. So I think that when you think you have a bad boss, don't just jump in and say, oh, they're a narcissist or they're self-obsessed. You know, maybe they are struggling too. So you need to kind of first look at the situation.
Bit of empathy initially, yeah. Is it often about control with these people, this need to control other people?
I think so. I think some people think that that's what a boss is. That it's about controlling an individual instead of maybe helping bring the individual along so that they work really well together. It's an old style way. You know, that command and control is very old style management or leadership.
Yeah. And you suspect whatever about us accepting it in our time, the younger generation now are not up for that.
They are absolutely not accepting that at all. I mean, a lot of that generation, they don't want to just be told what to do. They want to be told the why. So you might just say, oh, do that report. Well, why? You know, and you go, what do you mean? Like my generation, we felt lucky to have a job. And if our boss told us to do something, we said, yes, sir, how high? You know, you want me to jump, how high? But now they're going, well, okay, but why? Like I have 10 other things to do. Why am I doing this one first? Now, that's actually the right question to ask. But I think that when we come from a different learning environment, a work environment, when we're older, we might be a bit taken aback by that and think, they're very cheeky young pups, aren't they, asking me why? But they want to know, help me prioritize. You know, I do have 10 things to do. Is that now the first priority or the third priority?
Okay, yeah. We would have seen that in our younger days as being massively confrontational to the boss to do that. Okay, so... So tell me about the various ways, so the different pathologies of bosses, between the micromanaging, gaslight, sabotaging, belittle. Tell me about the various behaviours.
Okay, so gaslighting, you know, gaslighting is when, say, somebody tells you or asks you to do something and then you deliver it and they say, that's not what I asked you to do at all. Okay, so it could be gaslighting or it could be that, say, they wanted you to write this report, but then they went to five other meetings and their idea of what the report was has changed and they forgot to tell you. Okay? And you don't know that. And especially if you're young and you're starting out, you're not sure about how the world of work works. You might be confused and think that's undermining. Could be a communication issue, but it could be a subtle way of undermining you, right? And constantly making you feel like, oh, I thought they said this thing, but then they're telling me they said another. Am I remembering that incorrectly? So that's very undermining and can lead to anxiety, as your previous guest was talking about.
Okay. So these things are not all, it's not always kind of obvious. It's not as obvious as a shouter or anything. There are times when it's kind of hard to put your finger on, really.
Yeah. So there's kind of the Machiavellian boss, right? So they're the ones who might be pitting other people against each other. You know, one day there's somebody in the office and they're the best person, and they're fantastic. The next day they're the worst person. You know, they lift you up and they break you down. And that is a way of controlling and manipulating and keeping you on edge. Now, some bosses really do believe, and again, it's old school, that keeping employees anxious and fearful is the best way to get high performance. Now, that's not true, but that is definitely a belief.
Okay.
So you have to be careful and look at these behaviors and say, is this a short-term thing that this person is acting out of character? Maybe they're under stress, you don't know what's happening. Or is this a long-term pattern of undermining behavior where they're being abusive or disrespectful towards me or another colleague, or they're pitting us against one another?
Okay, and that's when you need to do something.
You need to do something.
What's the first step there?
So the first thing you do is you say, okay, is this on me, right? So am I actually not taking notes properly? Or am I not asking enough questions to understand what the job is? Do I need to be more patient? Is this just a communications issue between us? Am I making a lot of assumptions, right? So first, what work do I need to do to improve the situation? The second thing, especially if they're being abusive to you, is to stop the behavior. Say, it is not okay for you to speak to me like that. If you want to speak to me about any performance-related issue, I'd like to speak about that privately. You know, don't yell at me in front of my friends or my colleagues. You have to say it and say, how are things going? You know, I feel like you're not happy with my performance. Can you help me? You know, ask them for specifics. Okay. What specific thing?
Specifics.
Specific thing.
Okay.
But if they can't come up with specifics, then your answer is pretty clear that they are manipulating you.
Okay. There is a chance as well they'll react badly to
any
kind of challenge, isn't there?
There absolutely is, depending on the personality. But what's the alternative? You're just going to continue to allow them to undermine you and belittle you? You really don't have a choice in this situation. You need to try to resolve it by opening up the channels of communication and asking them to help you.
Okay. If that doesn't work, when should you get in touch with HR?
That is a last resort. Absolutely.
Okay.
So keep in mind that HR is really there to protect the company. They want to make sure that there are no issues that are going to impact morale, performance, culture, all those things. But, you know, before you contact HR, you should be reaching out to probably somebody who's more senior in the organization, who is a mentor to you, who is somebody that you trust. Say, look, I'm struggling a little bit with this person. I don't know. Is it me? You know, what are some things that I can do? You know, somebody who's a mentor or a coach. Also, you can start talking to your other colleagues, you know, privately. This shouldn't become water cooler gossip.
Not bitching.
Yeah. No, like that is very undermining. No, just say, look, I'm struggling with this. Can I have a cup of coffee with you? Have you experienced this? What techniques do you use, right? Keep your circle small, but do not become isolated, because what often happens with somebody who is a bully or is undermining, they purposely isolate you and make you feel that is your fault. And that's the worst thing. So it will lead to all kinds of, you know, sleepless nights, anxiety, dread. Your performance might decrease, which means then they have an excuse to fire you if that's what they're trying to do. So you have to be very conscious in each of these steps, what you're doing, and are you having a positive outcome by trying to address this, by addressing your behavior and the other person's, or is it hopeless? So once you get to that stage, then you have to either go to HR. You should have been documenting it all along, right? But really, what's going to happen then? You know, that can be a big mistake.
If you go to HR, do you have to decide you're ready to walk at that point?
Number one, you don't have to go to HR, because maybe you already decided you wanted to walk. And what's the point in involving HR,
How
right?
How do you know when you're ready to walk?
I think that when you think, I have tried everything possible in order to resolve this situation, but I realize that my values, you know, things like being spoken to with respect or being appreciated for my work or, you know, not being undermined, are obviously not the values of that individual. That is not going to be resolved. You cannot resolve a value difference between two people unless they're willing to make that change. So I would say that's when you need to think, what do I want from my life and work? Can I work somewhere where they value me, where they treat me with respect? You want to work someplace you can thrive. I mean, look, it's a full employment environment. You do have options. It's not the 1980s here.
Yeah, probably better to maybe have an option before you go, though, is it? Because
yes,
you can suddenly find yourself at home then going, why the hell did I do that?
I would never advise anybody to leave unless they have another job. You know, think about also, is this a time to retrain? Maybe that industry doesn't suit you anymore, but maybe you can move within your company. You don't necessarily have to leave the organization. You might find a better boss. You might find a more interesting job in a different department. You might do a sideways move. You might reskill. You might decide, you know what, I'm going to become a digital nomad and move to Peru. You know, you have to really focus on what will make you happy. Like, we spend so much time at work, Brendan. What is the point of being miserable?
Yeah, I think a lot of people are going to go, look, it's a job. I'm miserable. It's fine. I'll keep it going.
But you need to empower yourself. You don't have to do that.
Okay. Margaret E. Ward, leadership consultant and Irish Times World of Work columnist. Thank you very much.